And just like that, the three-game winning streak to start the season for the Broncos has been washed away after two straight losses, one to the Baltimore Ravens, who are in action tonight for Monday Night Football, which you'll hear right here on KFKA, and to a Steelers team that was bad. That was sitting at 1-3. They got that win over Buffalo to start the season, which that just seems like a minor miracle now after seeing what we saw last night, Sunday Night Football, with Josh Allen's just Spider-Manning people and Patrick Mahomes is getting picked off, you know, by linemen and linebackers all over the damn place. You look at the Broncos-Steelers game yesterday and kind of hit a peak of frustration. They came alive in the fourth, but it's the NFL. You guys, you see this every day. I was asked earlier, you know, if I was optimistic about the ending to the game. You know, when the Broncos came soaring back, surging back, they outscore Pittsburgh 13-3. How many times do you see this in the league? Teams that are up big, you know, 27 points or whatever, 24. And then they just kind of fall asleep at the wheel. That happens. Ben Roethlisberger was pretty good for the most part, 15 of 25, 253 yards, two touchdowns. Najee Harris ran all over the Broncos with 122 yards and a touchdown. Chase Claypool was, well, five receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown. Von Miller was guarding him once, which seems like a weird thing. You had Von Miller out in coverage. Not even like a disguised coverage. This wasn't Von popping off of the faking a blitz and then stepping back and showing that he was in coverage. This was actually Von out one-on-one against Chase Claypool. Brilliant. Oh, boy. We got a lot to get to today on this one. Man, it's a busy day for us. We got to get to... Dylan McCaffrey will join us. Thanks to First Advantage and the Windsor Mill Tavern for being a part of this. The Dylan McCaffrey Show presented by First Advantage, or the quarterback corner, right? Room? Is it the quarterback room or corner?
Let's go with room.
Because you can't go wrong there because there's a corner in that room, so it all works out.
Four corners.
Four corners, yes. Four corners with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. They had a rough one. There's no bones about it, man. But, you know, I think the way these stories go as we roll through football season constantly is you tend to forget, like, this is Ed McCaffrey's first head coaching job at the college level. This is going to take some time. You know, you said at the beginning of the season, Colfax, that 3 to 4 wins might be the expectation. Well, they've won two. Do they have some winnable games down the road? Maybe so. UC Davis is pretty tough coming up, so we'll discuss that. Let's stay here, though. Denver isn't even close to being better than Pittsburgh, like people are trying to make you believe. Pittsburgh looked like they had a 90-year-old man playing quarterback for them for the last 3 weeks, and suddenly he comes in with his hip pad and lights the damn place on fire.
Now Roethlisberger's going to air it out, and it's caught in stride! Deontay Johnson, a 50-yard touchdown strike! But they hand it off, Harris up top! Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Roethlisberger going for the end zone! Touchdown! Chase Claypool, 18 yards!
The whole rhetoric around Ben Roethlisberger, around Pittsburgh and the National Football League was, is it time to be done? Is the Big Ben, is it finally over? Is it finally time for Big Ben to stop? And this is what I was afraid of, right? I picked the Broncos to win, 5-1 in picks this week. Thank you, Denver. My fear was that this is the game that Big Ben gets it right. This is the game that the Steelers figure it all out. They've got a decent defense. They have a stud and a star in the making in Najee Harris. A little banged up there in that game, but you know, they're hoping he'll be good. Juju Smith-Schuster gets hurt, though. He's out for several weeks after that game. He had two. What was his stat line? He didn't have a reception, did he? I think he just had a carry on a reverse or something like that, but he got hurt on one of them. There's a lot of issues surrounding Denver at this stage, and it's a defense. Listen, I know they allowed 27. They really broke down in that second quarter. That very first drive, too, they fell asleep. I still think the defense, a yardage allowed and that kind of stuff, I mean, they're still number three. I know they shut down those first three teams, so it could be misleading. Defensively, I still like this team to be a top five unit, but they have to be the aggressors. They have to get turnovers now. They have to get more sacks. They're in the top 10 in both of those categories, in interceptions and sacks. I think they're both right at 10 on those sides. But if you're going to have an offense as unimaginative as what you have with Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bones, and it's not just on Teddy Bridgewater, so I'll caveat that before we begin this process. But that's the offense, folks. You don't need me to tell you that your starting quarterback is, for say, for 2 years, a career backup. I mean, yeah, he looked fantastic in those first 3 weeks. It was great. But he is a backup quarterback. You have Pat Shurmur, who just doesn't seem like he understands when and where to run certain plays. Melvin Gordon with 9 carries, Javonte Williams with 8 carries. Again, another low total for both of those guys. And I understand you were down a lot of the game, so it changes things, but I'd see first and 10, no run. They'd throw it. And then third and 13, let's just do a draw play. That'll show them. We run so much. You know, our offensive line's got to be ready for this one. There's some issues right now surrounding this team. Let's go to our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What's more likely this season, before it all ends? Vic Fangio fired? Pat Shurmur fired? Drew Locke to replace Teddy Bones? Or they'll get it all on the right track. They're going to get this thing back on the wheels, and we'll figure this out. That's why we love football, right? Weeks 1, 2, and 3, it was all golden rainbows. Everything was wonderful. Now it's pretty scary times for the Broncos. They got a Raiders team that's, you know, they got their butts kicked by Chicago yesterday and Justin Fields. How depressing is it to A, not see Bradley Chubb anywhere on the field for Denver, B, see Justin Fields light it up, well, play pretty well, and beat the Raiders, and Chicago's suddenly like, could they be a playoff team? Or see the future MVP, Josh Allen, just light up the Kansas City Chiefs. They're all pretty bad. They're all pretty frustrating. A couple of texts here, then we'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Eastside Chris, Brady Fangio would not be a good carny. When you yell step right up, everyone gets better. That doesn't mean the one you're yelling at. Okay. Dixon, the highest paid secondary in the league is not playing very well. And man, I would be giving Williams the ball a lot more than they do. Yeah, the secondary, like Patrick Surtain, I'm definitely seeing the strides there. He's a rookie, so but they are trusting Fuller way too much. You're leaving him alone out there on an island, and he's not the same corner that Vic Fangio was used to back, you know, a few years ago. It's just a different guy, and Fangio just gives him the keys. Hey, you're good. You can cover anybody in the league. The pass rush is, you know, like I said, they're not getting sacks. They got one in this game. They're getting some turnovers. But I said this from the beginning of the season. This team will go to the playoffs if they have a defense that's top five, but also creating turnovers, flipping field position, and their run game is consistent. You're right, Dixon. You are seeing Javonte Williams, 8 carries. This guy is carrying people. He's going to get to the point pretty soon where he's going to learn so many creative ways to fall forward and ways to torque his body around so he's carrying. I mean, he's one of those running backs that you see and go, man, even when he's tackled, he's falling forward for 3 to 4 yards. And yet he gets 8. Melvin gets 9. I don't know. It's an unimaginative offense, and I understand the injuries are not ideal for Denver. Offensive line suddenly doesn't look great. Yeah, you are looking at this team right now going, here we go again. The only difference is they started off on the right foot with three very bad football teams who, yeah, like Jacksonville, yikes. Giants kind of hung in there a little bit yesterday, and then the injuries are done with them. I mean, Giants are done. So in the Jets, whew, good luck. So that's what our fear was. Who'd they beat? They didn't beat anybody. Baltimore smoked them. Pittsburgh was smoking them until the Broncos woke up in the fourth. But this is, you see this all the time, guys. Teams come back. They make it interesting. Because for whatever reason, defenses mentally, whether it's the coordinator or the players, they just mentally kind of go, you know what, we got this. We're up three scores. We're up two scores. We're good. Denver almost gets it. Teddy Bridgewater was close. Sorry, Colfax. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Now, the good side of it, how about this one? I said CSU would win. I said they would cover minus three. They did a heck of a lot more than that. They absolutely worked the defending Mountain West champs. They beat San Jose State 32-14.
Just a four-man rush. Centeno lofts it up. It's caught! It's caught by McCullough! He's got a touchdown!
Yeah, that was another beautiful throw. I actually predicted this on our college football kickoff show on Thursday. I said, I think the Rams win big, and I think Todd Centeno finally connects on one of those deep balls, and he did. Everything went right for Colorado State. We're going to talk to Scott Patchen, who, oh, just like six tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, another tackle for loss. Yeah, almost an interception, too. We're going to talk to him about that one. He tore it up. The Scott Patchen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza is coming up at 1 o'clock. The bad is this Broncos offense.
All coming down to this. Bridgewater intercepted. James Pierre picked it. And Pittsburgh is going to win it.
Sure felt like he could have rolled out to his left and ran a touchdown or ran it in for a touchdown there, but I get it. The closing speed on these defenses is so tough. It's hard to say it, but it just looked like it from our TV perspective on the couch. Anyway, either way you want to slice this one, the Broncos are in trouble. You know, Pat Shurmur is in trouble. Vic Fangio is in trouble. Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not gonna harp on him too much because I get it. This is a Pat Shurmur issue first and foremost. But Teddy's a backup quarterback, guys. That's who you got in the offseason. And rather than just going with Drew Lock to see what you had, you said, no, we're gonna go with Teddy. We know what we have there. We're gonna go with that guy rather than all these other ones. The UNC Bears lost to Eastern Washington. We thought it would happen, but they lose 63-17 and whew. First quarter, 22-3. That was Eastern Washington just kind of ran away with it. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. When we come back, let's hear what Vic Fangio has to say about this offense so far. And where are you guys with Vic? To me, it just feels like, you know, Pat Shurmur's getting all the crap here, and I get it, he should. But is Vic just kind of like, blah? Like, he's not really a good head coach, but he's harmless. We'll keep him in. Because you don't really hear a lot of the hot seat talk about Vic Fangio. And I want to discuss that coming back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's a Reaction Monday. Whether you're a Rams fan, a Bears fan, a Broncos fan, or just a fan, get at us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
That we've got to obviously start better. Okay, we can't try and catch up being down as much as we were and wait to make some first downs on offense, stop some passes on defense, play the run better.
I mean, pretty much do everything better at the beginning of a game. And, You know, not leave it to late. Hell, man, we saw this last year even with Drew Locke. You know, he'd be terrible through three quarters, but defenses lighten up, and next thing you know, going down the field, scoring a few touchdowns. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They also provide orthopedic services for injured workers and understand how important it is to quickly treat workplace injuries and help you get back to work. Should the unfortunate accident happen, they'd like you to be their partner in getting your employee healthy back and work from their orthopedic injury. I mean, they're doing everything. That's orthopedic, orthohealth.com is their website. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What's more likely to happen first for the Broncos this season? Shurmur fired? Denver gets things back on track. Fangio fired. Locke to replace Teddy as starting quarterback. You guess who's leading in the clubhouse, Colfax? Any guesses?
Drew Locke takes over Teddy?
Taking over. That's the bottom one at this
point.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Where Teddy gets... People like Teddy.
Okay.
People like... That's what we've learned. He has won the crowd over, Broncos country over, thus far. Plus, Drew Locke, I think... Maybe lost Broncos country. They didn't like the Buzz Lightyear and all that stuff. Shurmur fired, getting 37% at this stage. Denver, and then 25% says Denver gets things back on track. I said that if they lost to Pittsburgh on Friday, I said that if they lost to Pittsburgh, it's panic time for the Broncos. It is panic time for the Broncos. What that means is, a strong evaluation needs to happen this week if you're going forward. If you are going forward with Pat Shurmur, George Payton, Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, they need to, John Elway, they need to sit in an office and figure this out and go through the play chart and look at how this offense is operating at this stage. I mean, it's almost like the opposite. Times I think they're going to run, they pass. Times I think they're going to pass, they run. Last week, it was just pass. Yeah, they think they're trying to be clever, but it's 3rd and 13. Pittsburgh's like, dude, run it with your rookie running back. He's good, but he's still a rookie. He's not getting 13 yards on us. So I not sure what the thought process is there. When do you break? I mean, the other thing of it is, if things get really bad, you have a former Titans head coach on your offensive line. Mike Munchak, there's your head coach if things go really south here. The problem is Vic Fangio's a defensive mastermind, and if your defense is good, and again, we're 5 weeks in, stats can be very misleading at this stage, but Denver's top three as far as yardage allowed per game. Again, misleading. I still think Denver's defense is very good. Are they elite status? That's the question. And probably not. I think elite defenses have everything. I think they hold you to little yards throughout the game. I think they hold you to little, you know, the least amount of scoring possible. And they're coming up with big plays. They did have the fumble recovery. Alexander Johnson had two shots at an easy interception. I mean, those both could have been game changers if that happened. So, you know, it's not, those things aren't happening for Denver right now. You're not getting game-saving, game-changing sacks by Von Miller at this stage. You know, the Malik Reed sack was nice, and it felt like, okay, here we go. And then the Broncos follow that up with a nice run by Javonte Williams at a couple of plays later. He spikes the ball. He doesn't score. He spikes the ball before he gets in the end zone, and it's a penalty. And then Teddy Bridgewater gets sacked for like 100 million yards, and you're kicking a field goal. After you were like on the 1 yard line. So even when this team got their breaks, they couldn't do anything with them. And it's hard to blame Javonte Williams because I really think that guy needs to be used more and more. But you can't spike the ball. Now, if he would have scored a touchdown, they said he would have been able to spike the ball, which is just stupid. If it would have been a touchdown, you can spike it. But because it's in the middle of the play, that's technically taunting or whatever the hell it is. I have a hard time with that one. It looks like we're tied now. Shurmur and Fangio receiving each 33% of the votes. 29 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get more Broncos stuff later on in this hour. We've got the Dylan McCaffrey quarterback room coming up, presented by First Advantage. Looking forward to that. I know it was a tough weekend, but Dylan, I think kind of sometimes getting the players in here is therapeutic for all of us. It kind of helps us turn the page as to what's next for the Bears. They get set to travel to UC Davis coming up this weekend. So we'll talk to Dylan about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Now's the time. I love these segments, man. We catch up with Dylan McCaffrey. It is our quarterback corner, or quarterback room, right, with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. Dylan, first off, man, the jacket, man, it's working. Where did you snag that bad boy?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I got it online. He just looked up Bad News Bears jerseys. I don't even remember what website, but... You know, yeah, had to get one.
Dang, yeah, I'm gonna have to look at that. All right, man, let's get into it. Kind of a rough weekend. Yep. Eastern Washington. You and I talked about this last week, and I mean, the nation kind of got to see this team 2 weeks ago as they were on ESPN a little bit later on that Saturday night. But That's a damn good football team right there. Maybe that's the kind of team that can win the whole thing. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat it or anything, but let's just face it. You guys have ran into a buzzsaw the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, we knew. I mean, our conference had some really tough teams. And, I mean, they do. We're learning that. We're figuring out ourselves exactly how to click and how to compete with these teams. But there are multiple teams in our conference that could go ahead and win the thing. You know, you just got to keep battling through and finding ways to compete with those teams and battle and hopefully get some wins from them.
What do you take from a game like that? 63-17. I saw you guys score at the end of that half there. You get a couple of rushing touchdowns. When you look at that side of it, what are you able to grab from a game like that?
Yeah, I think this game, along with all our other games, there's been spurts. You know, spurts where we're looking awesome, especially offensively, where things are clicking, we're moving the ball, and then we're finishing. You know, early in the season, we were moving the ball, not finishing, and now it's just been like, you know, a couple drives in a row where, all right, that looks like a good offense, a well-put-together offense, but it's about consistency. And everyone knows that in football. It's hard to stack that on for an entire game, an entire four quarters, and that's one thing we got to keep harping on, keep practicing, and really just figuring out how to execute that and doing that instead of having, you know, a handful of good drives a game.
What I think's interesting too, and we've talked about it on the show, I mean, the expectations, this University of Northern Colorado Bears program 10 plus years has been kind of in a tough spot, has been struggling trying to fix it. And so when we talked about the new era coming in, the thing doesn't change overnight. In fact, it rarely changes over the course of a season sometimes. It can take that much because we were talking about it during the break, no matter how much talent you bring in, it can take a long while to get it all to click.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's cliche to say Rome wasn't built in a day, but that's a very true statement, and it's cliche for a reason. So that's definitely the case, man. That's definitely, like I said, there's been some really good things and some really bad things, and it's really just finding out exactly what we're going to do, what this team is, and how to execute that. Because you can look great in practice against certain looks and then come a game, and that's hard to execute. And it's really just kind of turning whatever style you choose into your own and finding exactly what works out of that.
We're talking to Bears quarterback Dylan McCaffrey. The Bears looking to turn the page coming up against another tough team in UC Davis. And, you know, again, it is what it is. When you look at your schedule, and we're talking FCS football, the Big Sky Conference, especially this year, has got some of the best teams in all of the FCS. And that, I mean, we're not just saying that. You can go look at the records and look at their non-conference play.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, they've had a lot of FBS wins overall and just a lot of wins overall. So it's tough. It's tough to keep scraping it. And you really kind of got to, from our perspective, grit some of those out, you know, find a way. We talked about it multiple times on this show. And as a team, it's just finding a way to win, man. And that's something we're going to keep harping on.
Second half, you know, you look at it and, you know, you guys defensively, you put some stops on there too, and then you come up with a score, ends up being 63-17. Do you look at that and say, all right, they got off to one of those starts that mentally could almost mess with you a little bit. They jump out to a 22-3 lead. Mm-hmm. How is that handled by you guys? Like, what are you talking about? Is there frustration starting to seep over, or are you guys all pretty tight-knit still, and you're like, hey, you know what? We got to weather the storm.
Yeah, it's hard not to feel frustration, obviously, but I don't think anyone felt frustration towards each other. You know, that's one great thing that we have about this team. I think everyone kind of internally looks at themselves and be like, all right, man, what can I do now? Well, what can I do to make it better? And I think the team actually did a really good job of that. And, you know, once that happens, you got to kind of shift the mindset. I mean, you should start off a game like this, but you really can't be thinking about, all right, everything. You just take it one play at a time, you know, one snap at a time, how to execute this. And that's another thing, man, that I think we're getting better on. But looking at the whole picture sometimes can be overwhelming, and you just got to take it into small steps.
So what are those conversations like now? We talked about a little bit of what it kind of looks like throughout the game. How's the team feeling? How's the locker room at this stage?
Yeah, team, this is going to be an interesting point. We're going to figure out who's a fighter and who's not. And I think it'll be very insightful and good to see from our perspective, you know, because you want those fighters around, and anyone who's not is kind of a is either got to change the mindset or figure out a way to become one, you know?
I'm looking at the schedule coming up too, Dylan. I mean, again, we said UC Davis coming up this weekend. You're on the road there. Do you look at that like, hey, it's after a game like that one in Eastern Washington, maybe it's a good thing to get out on the road, try to clear our heads a little bit, even though you're still going up against a pretty damn good football team?
Yeah, they are. Like you said, they're a damn good football team, and it's going to be another challenge, and you know what? I think myself and a lot of the team is, you know what, we're ready for another challenge, you know? What can you do about last week? We're moving on and say, all right, let's try to, you know, prove ourselves now. So that's the mindset you got to go into it, and yeah, sometimes it is nice hitting the road. I mean, going to California, hopefully we get some pretty good weather out there.
Usually
is. So can't ask for much more, man. Another opportunity to play, another opportunity to play a good team, and another opportunity to show our stuff. So
might avoid the first like real cold situation, cooler this weekend.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if they're saying snow this weekend, so you could avoid that
mm-hmm.
in California. So
yeah.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, I'll take you, man.
And you look at the rest. I mean, Sacramento State, Montana. These are all really good football teams. And I know that's you know, at the beginning of the season, you're not really looking at that schedule. But I think we even talked about it with Coach McCaffrey at that football summit. And we have the schedule out in front of us. And it's like, you know, new to this conference. But still, this is a tough group of teams. And we kind of knew that going into it.
Yeah, definitely did. But, I mean, at the end of the day, also, we want to be one of those teams. You know, we want to be one of those teams on people's schedule. They look and say, damn. That's going to be a dogfight, no matter how good or bad they are. That's something that, in order to get to that level, we got to start beating some of these teams, got to start competing with some of these teams. And, you know, I think we will. It's just a matter of time. It's not going to happen tonight. And we got another opportunity to do that this week, though, and that's going to be awesome.
What sticks out to you so far as you're in going through that film against Eastern Washington, but when you do turn that page, so to speak, when you start looking at UC Davis, what sticks out to you looking at that defensive side of the football?
Yeah, overall, man, I've been impressed with their defense. I think they're really solid overall. They're a disciplined defense, you know, and I think they're coming off actually a tough loss here and kind of an upset situation. So it's always a little bit, you know, you got to be wary when teams are like that. They're usually going to come out and hit you even harder a little bit because they're going to be pissed off just like we are. So that's going to be it's going to be a fun challenge, man, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you look at this is why football is just, and especially this year for some reason, it just seems like things are crazy. College football, NFL, but Idaho State, I mean, that was their, wasn't that their, I think that was their first win of the season, too.
Yeah,
so you look at that situation, and they pull off the upset. They score 27.
Mm-hmm.
So it does kind of go to show you just never know what's going to happen week to week, and I don't think anybody expected that to happen, for UC Davis to just score 17 points and lose 27-17.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look around our conference, like little or games like that, you know, Idaho State, UC Davis, but then you look around all college football right now, man, and that's happening every week. There's teams that you're like, wow, I never saw that coming, and that's just part of the game, man. That's what attracts people to this sport, especially this level of the sport, is it's pretty crazy.
I don't know how you guys do it. Like keeping that, you know, when you have one game go this way, one game go that way, whatever, the emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Like Colfax, I'm a very emotional guy in here. Yeah. Every single Monday I come in here, I'm like, what has just happened? And then Friday I expect some normalcy, and then it hits again Monday. Yep. So I don't know how you guys ride that roller coaster like that.
Yeah, man, it's tough, especially, I mean, college football, you're dealing with, young men. You got dudes who are 17, you know, to 22 on your team, and that's no matter which way you chalk it up, man, young men ride off momentum. And I think that's such a big part of this sport, such a big part of the college level, is momentum. And that's something once you get a hold of, you can't let go of it. You know, you got to keep fostering that and really just rolling with it, man, because I've seen momentum take teams far, you know, teams that maybe don't have enough talent or you know, something like that. They take it really far.
We're talking to Dylan McCaffrey. It's the quarterback room presented by First Advantage as they get set for UC Davis coming up this weekend, trying to get it back on the right track, too, which, as you say, can be a lot of work. You're going to find out pretty soon as far as those players that are really willing to step up, put that work in, and take it to that next level and try to get this thing, you know, what, 5 games remaining already. So try to get this thing back out on the positive side.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, that's a take it day by day, play by play kind of deal.
So yesterday you told me a mix between studies and NFL stuff. You got to watch a couple of the games. So you saw the craziness going on throughout the National Football League.
Yeah. No, it was crazy weekend. You're right. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch quite as much as I would have liked. Had a couple exams to finish up, a couple papers. So, but from what I saw, man, geez. Yeah. It's wild.
No, that's what Kansas City lose by, what, 18 to Buffalo mm-hmm. last night. So you have Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday was a rough outing for him. They have a lightning delay, though.
Yeah.
And you know, Dylan, I'm like 97 now, so I'm getting past my bedtime there waiting for it. But I did finish it out until, you know, the last 2 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
But that was absolutely crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, everyone knew Buffalo was a really good team going in, and you know, it's tough to doubt the Chiefs, really, you know, with the success they've had.
Even at 2-3, you still don't doubt them,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. You know, that's a team, obviously, that could beat anyone still. So, you know, you can't count them out. You can't ever count them out. They're going to be a team that I'm sure they'll figure out a way, pick things up. But, I was impressed with how good Buffalo looked as well. So, that was pretty wild, yeah.
Well, and I mean, again, talking about that unpredictability side of it, it's like, mm-hmm. who would have really guessed Josh Allen, quarterback for the Wyoming Cowboys, which is a respectable team, but
yeah, no doubt.
I don't think anybody's predicting that, A, he's going to be this great player, and or B, he could be the league MVP this year. I mean, yeah. He was close last year. So it just goes to show you just never know sometimes.
You really don't, man. It's a crazy game, and I guess, I don't know, I can't speak as much to the NFL level, but I mean, I'm sure momentum plays a big factor in there, too.
Yeah.
And they seem to have a lot of it right now.
Dylan, going forward, man, I know you guys are going back into the lab, getting to the film study, getting back out on the practice field to try to turn this thing around. And you know what? I think there's a lot of optimism around this Bears program. And that's what we asked at the beginning of the season. We looked at it and said, okay, it's a brand new day for the UNC Bears. And you and I discussed that a lot, bringing these guys in. And it does need to take hold. Yeah, in a perfect world, it all takes hold day one and never stops. Yep. And we've certainly seen when it can take hold with you guys. Now, as you said, just trying to find a way, get out to a good start and be able to hang on to it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's really, at this point, I'm thinking it's a matter of when, you know, when we click. And I think it's coming, man. And I'm excited. There we've seen a lot of good things, and it's really just about keeping those going, stacking good days on top of each other, which is hard to do. But I think this team has the people to do it, and I think the attitudes are still in a position where, you know, we can.
Do you feel as a leader? Of course, any quarterbacks are the leaders on these teams, and do you feel an extra sense of, all right, this week I know I need to go out there and still be that positive guy. I have to keep encouraging these guys, even though it was a rough couple of weeks. I still have to be that that voice of positivity going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's kind of in my nature in general, which is a good, I guess it's a good quality to have as a quarterback, but you know, it's something where I truly believe you can't harp on the negative forever, man. If you do, you can get sucked into a pit there and just kind of stay there. And you know, I didn't play great this past weekend. I've had a couple tough weeks in a row, but what are you going to do about it? I can't go back and change that. All I can do is control today and tomorrow and control what you can control, and that's something we've been talking about too. And I think that positive attitude is super important, you know, for me and from everybody. And I think a lot of this team has it, which is great to see.
I'll carry it over on the road, see if you guys can get some of that positivity out, get to that quick start, and go up against the UC Davis team. Hey, really good football team, but Idaho State kind of showed us that they can bleed a little bit over the weekend. So, Dylan, my friend, wish you the best of luck. We'll be rooting for you again this weekend as you guys head out on the road.
I appreciate it. Yep, thanks for having me, like always. So.
All right, my friend. We'll get at it. Hey, we'll see if you watch a little more football. We can watch Monday Night Football tonight. We got Ravens and Colts tonight.
Yeah, I plan on watching it.
Who you got?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I don't know. I think Ravens have been looking good, man. Yeah. And my gut instinct says them, but we'll see.
I've been going my gut instinct lately, and it doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, no, not all the time. But
Dylan, appreciate you, my friend.
Yep, thank you.
All right, 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their wonderful staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift if you can do that and take that burden away from your family members, no matter what stage you're in. It's always something, you just get it done, get it out of your way, and then live well. Have it all figured out. Have that funeral service set. I know it's a depressing thing to think about and talk about, but you can get it done, and then it makes that post situation just, you know what, it's never easy, but it just at least takes that side of it, that burden away. Their number is 970-330-6824. Their website, Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, MosierFuneralService.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What's more likely to happen first for the Broncos this season? That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Shurmur fired? Denver gets things back on track. Fangio fired. Drew Locke to replace Teddy as starting quarterback. Some don't like that. I even threw that in there. But when you have a quarterback, if this thing gets out of hand, which Raiders, Browns, that's what's coming up. Raiders just lost two in a row. You're going to find out which AFC West team wants to be in this thing. Because either whoever loses on Sunday, I feel like it's the team that probably fades out of this race. Because Kansas City, I thought they looked like absolute garbage against Buffalo last night. But I'll believe it when I see it, as far as them not being in this thing at the end of it. Their defense is atrocious. I know they have a lot of injuries. That offensive line hasn't been fantastic, at least last night. First full game I watched with Kansas City, and I did say, hey, you're getting all these free agents and new pieces, but getting them all to work together, that's something different entirely. And last night, Mahomes was, you could tell, that pocket was just caving in around him, and he had to make some decisions. So when you look at the Broncos and the Raiders going forward, if this thing gets bad and the Broncos lose to the Raiders, and then you got a Browns team that I think's just, you know, they're still going to be a pretty damn good team when this is all said and done. You will be at a point where you're looking at it going, all right, we're under 500 now. What do we do? Do we want to throw Drew Locke out there and see what happens and at least know for a fact it's over with? We close the book on both these guys, Teddy and Drew? Or do you think that, no, somebody else is going to get fired first and then we're going to go? I don't know if any of these will happen, to be honest with you. I don't know that Denver gets things back on track. They might. I don't know that you fire Shurmur or Fangio. This is that tweener year, remember? A new ownership's coming in next year. So this could be, all this stuff might be irrelevant, but it's worth looking at. Is Fangio the future coach for this team? I said it when he was hired. I'll say it again. I like the guy. I want to like the guy. I like the idea of the guy. But it's not working. Pat Shurmur's not working. And Teddy's good. He was good. He proved that he's good, right? But he's a backup caliber guy. Whew. you need a lot of other things to go right to win. You need an elite defense and you need an elite running game. And Pat Shurmur's not really willing to run, so how are you going to ever find out if you have one? We're going to get to the Scott Patchen Show. We're switching gears. Let's talk about something positive next on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.